98.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydra, Oklahoma, and also on the Gospel Radio Network. We're thankful that you you're with us tonight, and we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call, if you'd like to get in on the question with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to remind you of our sponsors. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, and also the Windmill Church of Christ located on Ten Top Road in Weatherford, Texas. All of these congregations are good, sound congregations, and if you're in those areas, we encourage you to visit those congregations. Now, again, this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Last week, as a matter of fact, we started a series of lessons on the Christian graces. And this is a very important topic for us because a lot of the things, or all of the things that we're going to learn from these Christian graces are very important and very vital to our being a part of the kind of people that God would have us to be. Now, David, as we begin looking at this again tonight, why don't you read for us from 2 Peter chapter 1 there, about the Christian graces, and then we'll pick up our discussion from where we left off last week.
Okay, I'd be very glad to. In the second letter that Peter wrote, beginning there in verse number 3, he tells us this, and this is addressed to those of like precious faith. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Tom, that is where we find the Christian graces. There are eight of these, and each one of them are extremely valuable. You put them all together, and you have an extremely valuable necklace, if you will, something of tremendous value. Each one of these individually are very, very valuable for us, and they will make us that we will not be unfruitful, neither barren, in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And when we come to David to really understand what all of these various graces mean, we're going to find that they really build on one another and really make our lives the way it ought to be in the sight of God. You know, so we need to take time to understand the meaning and apply these to our lives and get our minds really to dwell on these. Now, David, these Christian graces are the book of 2 Peter was written to those of like precious faith. These are people who had obtained the same type of faith that Peter had. And then he tells them in verses 3 through 5, he talks about how that this divine power, and we talked about that last week, how powerful is his divine power? Well, he spoke and all things came into existence. Mm-hmm. He created the sun. And so he's powerful. And by this divine power, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, David, what does that tell us about the Bible and what it provides?
Well, the Word of God, according to that one statement right there, and we have various other statements throughout the New Testament that will reveal to us the very same thing. Everything you ever wanted to know about life and everything that you ever wanted to know about godliness is revealed to us in here through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's power. Mm-hmm. And if we had our elected officials in this country that would give adherence to that passage of Scripture right there, everything you need to know about life, everything you need to know about godliness, it's all found right here in the book, they would be guided to righteous decisions instead of wicked, immoral decisions.
Exactly. And in that same light, that means, David, we don't need any other revelation, do we?
No.
We don't need the Book of Mormon.
No.
The Pearl of Great Price.
No.
We don't need any of those things because the Bible is all sufficient. And we don't need any latter-day revelations, do we?
No, we don't.
And so we've got this divine power from God that provides us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. And also, we have been given, as a result of all these things, great and precious promises. Now, that's something really to look forward to. But, David, these great and precious promises, which are revealed in the gospel, will not be ours unless we incorporate the Christian graces.
Absolutely. Because beginning with the one that we're going to start with tonight, if we do not have this first Christian grace, it is absolutely impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. We'll see that later on as we will bring in the Scriptures.
And so, David, as we're looking at this, it's interesting to me that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness by this divine power from God. We have great and precious promises. All of these things are available to us that we might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, that's, David, that means that we should have the divine essence, the qualities of God. We need to be holy like God is holy, and we need to strive to emulate Him and be like Him, but we cannot be partakers of the divine nature unless we're involved in His Word, unless we are partaking of the Christian graces and making them a part of our lives. And when we do this, David, we will escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. All of this is available to us because of the power of God and what He's provided for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, as we look into our text tonight, Peter introduces these qualities the Christian must add to his lives so that he may receive the divine nature and inherit the kingdom of God. But he begins by giving us some warnings before he gets into these Christian graces, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence. Following the graces in verse 10, he ends up, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Now, this should really get our attention, this word diligence, because diligence means persistent application to an undertaking. It means steady effort, eagerness, and zeal. And so what he's telling us here is that it would do very little good to approach any of these graces with a half-hearted manner. And so we should jump in here with enthusiasm and meditate upon these graces and how to apply them to our lives. And the adding of these Christian graces to our lives is not going to be a quick fix. It's not like going down and getting your flu shot and say, well, I did that and glad that's over with. In order for us to add these qualities to our life, is to take these qualities and mold our lives around them, and it's going to require a lifetime of persistent application and continued steady effort.
So, David, here he really gives us some important information before we even get into any of these graces.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to have to be effort involved. And really, David, all of Christianity involves effort, doesn't
sure,
it?
Absolutely.
We just can't, you know, sometimes people, I heard Roy Deaver say one time that some people treat grace like grease, and just try to slide right on into heaven. Well, you know, we need to do our part in this. And it takes effort. It's difficult at times being a Christian and living the right life. And so he's telling us at the very beginning, with all diligence, it's important that we give the proper effort if we want to have these qualities of the Christian graces in our life. And David, when we think about this whole issue of the Christian graces, what's important for us to understand and our listeners to understand is that what we have here is really a pattern for life.
Right.
Peter wants us to understand that here is the pattern for our lives. You know, it's kind of like an artist painting a landscape. In the artist's mind's eye, he sees the finished painting. He sees a product in which each stroke of the brush, he adds a shade, a tint, a hue, and then right before your eyes, the scene springs to life. And that's part of our problem, isn't it, David? We don't look ahead to what the finished product ought to be, do we?
No, and this painting that you described ought to be true with our lives. We ought to be able to see the finished product in our own concept of who we need to be in order to please God. We ought to be able to see that finished product. And so as we add these Christian graces to our lives, and it's not going to happen all at once, we need to add them all, but we can't do it in one day. It takes a lifetime of effort and a lifetime of participation. Now, if you're listening out there, we have a toll-free number. And the number to call is 1-855 Q as in question, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E. Q-A Bible. 1-855 Q-A Bible. Give us your comments, give us your questions, or you can get on the internet and you can go to thegospelradionetwork.org. And you can log in there and or go to theharrisonmoore.org and click onto the microphone, either way, and you will come to a chat box. You can sign in there at that chat box, and you can give us your comments or your questions on the web, and we'll be glad to answer them. Now, Tom, you mentioned that these Christian graces are a pattern of our life. And sad to say, Tom, that many Christians never look at the pattern of what their lives can actually be. Even Christians, they just live one day at a time, and they never look at the complete scene that is being created, never look at the whole picture, and never seeing the end result of their life.
You know, David, when we look at the end result, doesn't that help us to help to motivate us to want to go through what we have to go through?
Sure.
You know, I'm a big basketball fan and a San Antonio Spurs fan, and last night they won the championship. Mm-hmm. Well, they won the championship. That was the long-term goal.
Sure.
But before they got to the goal, there was lots of running, lots of practicing, lots of work that had to be done.
There was the first game.
Yeah, and all that effort to go through that to get to that final goal. And that's the same way it is with Christianity. We have a goal out there,
right,
and we see that picture. And these Christian graces, do they not help us to come to that final goal?
You know, the older a person gets, the easier it is to see the final goal. I'm reminded of a story, Tom, that I was told years ago about this father that was talking to his son who had just graduated high school. And he says, well, what are you going to do now? He says, well, I'm going to go to college. Mm-hmm. He said, and then what? He said, well, then I'm going to graduate with a big degree and I'm going to make a lot of money. He said, and then what? And he said, well, I'll probably get married. And then what? Well, I'll probably have some kids. And then what? He said, well, we'll stay married, raise a family, and then I'll retire. And then what? He said, well, we'll be able to buy us a Winnebago and travel all over the country and see the country. And then what? And he said, well, I guess, and then we're going to die. And then what? And he hadn't thought about that.
That's exactly right.
He hadn't thought about it. Hadn't seen the whole picture here.
And that's our problem. You know, that's the problem with a lot of our young people as well as our adults. We think about the here and now, and we're not looking to the future. And that's why he tells us here in the very beginning of our text that we ought to give diligence to make our calling and election sure, and that we've got to give diligence to add these certain qualities to our life. You know, we pass this way only once, and we'll never, ever live it again. And it's like raising our children. We only get one shot at it.
Right.
We only get one shot at our life. And so, well, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now, David, is all the moment we're guaranteed. I may get killed on the way home tonight, going home in a car wreck. You just never know.
Right.
You could die of a massive heart attack. We don't have another moment of guarantee, and so look to the future. Live each moment preparing for the future because it might be over with today.
Sure.
And that's the problem. This is our moment in time. Whoever you are listening right now, I don't care if you're 90 or if you're 12. This is your moment in time. It's just a moment as opposed to eternity. It's just a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And whatever it is that you're going to do, you're going to have to do in the limited amount of the moment that you have here on this earth to get it done.
And that's why Peter says it's time to get serious about it.
Absolutely.
Give all diligence. And so, for in verse 8 it says, for if these things, now we're talking in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8.
Second
Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, for if these things, you know that word if's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
For if these things be in you and, what's the next word?
Abound,
they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, David, what does that tell us with regard to implementing these Christian graces in our life?
Well, if we have them, we're going to be a fruitful lot. We're not going to be barren. We will be able to produce fruit in the kingdom of God. If we do not have these things, we will be unfruitful. We will be barren. We will have no reason to really exist. Because if we are unfruitful, we're just like a tree that never bears any fruit.
Uh-huh.
Get it out of the way.
You know, one thing that really has always stuck with me on this, David, is that these things must be in you and abound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't just get by in half-hearted Christianity. We can't get by with just trying to be second best or just good enough, just enough to get by. These qualities need to abound in our life, and without these, well, it would be like a mouth without a tongue, or a saddle without a horse, or a car without gas. There's no value. You know, what good is a saddle except for taking up space if there's no horse to put it on? And what good is a car that didn't have any gas?
You're stuck.
That's right. And so we need to add these eight qualities to our lives so that we can become useful as Christians, and that we might be fruitful as God's children. That is imperative.
Amen. Amen. Now, in verse 9, Peter further describes the Christian who does not make these characteristics a part of his life. He says, for he that lacks these things, he's blind, he cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. When a person is blind and cannot see afar off, he's not seeing the whole picture. He's
exactly
just like
right.
That teenager that just graduated high school. He can't see the whole picture. All he can see is a little bit of the forest out here. But he says, not only are you blind and you can't see afar off, but you have forgotten that you were purged from his old sins. Now, this goes back to what we were saying last week. These Christian graces are for the Christian.
Exactly.
They are for that individual who has been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, who has been purged from his sin. Now, what does that mean?
Well, you're going to have your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. David, when we talk about becoming a Christian and having this initial faith, like you said, these are for Christians. Because people who are not New Testament Christians aren't really going to be concerned about these things.
No.
And they're not going to have the very first step in all of this, having this faith that we're going to talk about in just a moment. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in the chat room on the Gospel Radio Network. If you don't see the chat box, you just refresh the browser and you'll see it pop up at the bottom of the page, and you can chime in. I see that we've got Lisa Greer on there tonight, among a few others, and we're thankful that Lisa's with us tonight. And if you've got a comment, write it down, or a question, or call us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
Well, now, Tom, we have kind of a guarantee that goes along with this. This is something that we need to do. It will make us a better person. It will make us a better Christian. It will make us right in the eyes of God. And then what we find here is that the Christian who practices these qualities and makes them a part of his life will walk through the gates of pearl onto the streets of gold into the presence of God and the Creator of all things, because God is going to welcome every faithful Christian with a "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
And for us to hear that welcome, we must study the meaning of these graces and diligently apply them to our lives.
And so, David, without these Christian graces, as he has told us there in chapter 1 and verse 10, we are blind.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot see afar off, and that's the important of this thing, being able to see afar off, see what the goal is, and then do what we have to do to develop ourselves so that we can reach that goal. And that's why Peter has given us, by inspiration, these Christian graces, because they help us to develop ourselves so that we can reach that goal and not be blind and not be able to see afar off. It's important for us to understand. Now, again, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
Tom, did you ever notice that occasionally there'll be some folks that claim that they're Christians, and they come to services occasionally, and sometimes they come Sunday morning, sometimes they come Sunday night, sometimes they come once every other week or whatever. You find that they have not abounded in these Christian graces.
Mm-hmm.
They are lacking in these Christian graces. These are the things that are not optional, but they are something that God says that we must have in our lives in order to please Him. We're going to see that with the very first Christian grace. If you don't have this one, you have nothing.
Exactly right. And it's and this whole idea of the Christian graces, David, they build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot build on one without the other. Now, we talk about faith.
That's the first of the Christian graces.
The first of the Christian graces. You know, this first characteristic of the Christian is that of faith. And David, it's only reasonable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because what does the Hebrew writer say in Hebrews 11, verse 6?
He says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him."
Now, he did not say it's highly unlikely.
No, no, he did not.
He said it is impossible. Without mm-hmm. faith, it is impossible to be pleasing to Him.
So without this foundational platform here for us to build the rest of our Christian life and the Christian graces that go along with that life, without this foundation of faith, we have absolutely nothing.
You know, perhaps more than any one thing, biblical faith is what's really lacking in our world today.
This is the reason that people quit.
Exactly.
Because they don't have a good foundational understanding of what true faith in God and Jesus Christ is.
You know, and a lot of people, all they hear about when they hear about faith is they hear about believing in Jesus and believing He is the Son of God. And that's their total concept of mm-hmm. what faith is.
Right.
But there's a lot more to faith than that.
There's no doubt about it. And we're going to see that. That we may run into people that have enough faith to be baptized, and they may have enough faith to come to the services from time to time. But the Lord is going to require more than that. You know, a lot of people think that, well, if I'll go every now and then and I'll sit in the pew on Sunday morning, well, that will suffice. No, it's not about getting by. It's about being the best that we can possibly be at what we do. You couldn't get even into the military of the United States of America and just get by. You're going to have the best. You're going to have to be the best that you can be, or you won't be in there.
You know, there was a time, David, in the New Testament when Jesus scolded his apostles mm-hmm. for their lack of faith. You know, they weren't able to perform some miracles that they thought they should have been able to perform. And then in Matthew chapter 17, in verse 20, he said to them, and after they had asked, why could we not cast out these devils? He says, because of your little faith.
Mm-hmm.
For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
The now, faith of a mustard seed. That's not very big. Mustard seed is about the size of the head of the pen, and it does not require much faith, as we see this. It does not require much faith to accomplish many wonderful things.
You know, we might mention there, David, that we talked about having faith to be able to remove mountains.
Uh-huh.
And some people might be confused about that, but that is known as a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration to make a point. He's telling us here the great things, the awesome things that can be accomplished with just a little bit of faith.
Right, right.
But then, you know, even though we may have a little bit of faith, if that faith's not growing, there's going to be difficulty on the horizon in there.
Well, it will. It's just like any muscle in your body. If that muscle is not used repeatedly and consistently, it will atrophy. Everybody's muscle will. It will just atrophy. It'll go away. In Luke chapter 17 and verse number 5, these very same apostles that Jesus accused of having little faith, they came to Jesus and they asked him to increase their faith. And you know what he told them? He told them the very same thing. He said, if you had the mustard seed, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, then you could move mountains. You're going to have to do something on your own to increase your faith.
So as the apostles had to do their own work in producing faith,
mm-hmm.
and just like you cannot lift weights for me to increase bodily strength.
Right.
I have to do it myself.
Exactly.
So with regard to faith, personal faith, we're going to have to work on this ourselves individually. We can't rely on anybody else. It's something that we've got to do.
We are each and every one of us personally and individually responsible for the faith that we have.
Well, David, it's about time for us to take a break, and we'll be talking more about faith on the other side of the break. You are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
You're clear.
Okay, to those of you who are still on the Internet, we take a break on our radio airwaves, KATX and KNNK in Hereford, Texas, and in Eastland, Texas. Also KQMK 1680 AM in Hydro, Oklahoma. But on the Internet, on the GospelRadioNetwork.org, we continue to broadcast. And we want to take this opportunity to encourage you to tell your friends about the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We haven't been on this broadcast station for a long time, and we need to get the word out that we're here, and we want you to use the chat box on this internet program. Use the chat box, make your comments, give your questions. This is a live call-in talk show, and our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. It's always been that way. It is imperative that we here on this program tell you what is the biblical truth, not what we think it is or not what we suppose it is, not Tom's opinion or my opinion, but what the Bible says. As we have this brief opportunity here, we want to mention our sponsors again, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and oh, by the way, this Tuesday night in De Leon, there will be a summer youth series starting at 7 o'clock. Philip McIntosh will be the speaker there, and we'll have refreshments after it's all over. Bring your youth.
I hear a rumor there's going to be pizza.
I think pizza and cookies. What else could you want besides a Coca-Cola? So be there at De Leon at 7 o'clock Tuesday night, and be ready for a great program there at the Summer Youth Series concerning youth. Again, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, Mount Vernon Church of Christ, Ninth in Maine Church of Christ in San Angelo,
10 seconds.
And the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, on Tin Top Road, just outside of Weatherford, Texas. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. You are listening on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org, on the Internet, and also on
the Gospel Radio Network.
The Gospel Radio Network.org. And also, we're broadcasting from 97.7 FM in Eastland, Texas, KATX, KNNK 100.5 FM in Hereford, Texas, KQMK 1680 AM in Hydro, Oklahoma, and the Gospel Radio Network.org. We want to encourage you to pick up the phone and give us a call. This is a live call-in talk show. This is what makes this talk show fun, is when people call in with a question or a comment. It enhances what we are trying to teach, and we will give you a Bible answer for your comments or your questions, either one. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-Q is in question, A is in answers, B-I-B-L-E. Tonight we are continuing on our study of the Christian graces. We have set the scene, we have set the stage, and now the Christian graces are going to be given. You can look for these Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning there in verse number 5. You have a list of them. There are 8 in number. It says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. These are the Christian graces. These are not optional for the Christian. These are something that must exist in us, and they must grow, and they must get bigger and better, and we must grow in our faith. We talked about growing in the faith just a moment ago. Faith is the very first one of these Christian graces, and there must be a tremendously good, strong foundation as a rock of faith here in order for all of the rest of the Christian graces to be built upon.
Exactly. You know, and we already mentioned Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that it is impossible, not highly unlikely, but it is impossible to please God without true faith. But the question we need to ask ourselves is this. What is faith? Well, we can really... Every now and again you get chuckled about things that happen as we're here, but in Hebrews at chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it says, now, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. Now, faith is vital. Faith is important. And we learned something very important here with regard to faith. It is based upon evidence. It is based upon the idea that the worlds were framed by the very Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, what does that have to do with regard to us believing God and having the kind of faith that we ought to have with regard to, well, the worlds being framed by the Word of God?
Well, there is a thing out there that's being taught to every one of our children called evolution. It's taught in all of our public schools. It is a mandatory subject that we have to allow our children to endure if they want to go to public school. This evolution, friends, it is not a seemingly harmless a doctrine or teaching. It is a very, very serious doctrine, and it is most egregious, because in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we are told there, before that, we're told about God's creating the world, framing the world, creating the world. And then in verse 6, he says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, if we look at that and say he is, what are we saying? He is what? He is the creator. No,
exactly. We have to believe. It's a must. You have to believe that Jesus is the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a hard way to believe if you're going to believe in evolution, isn't it?
Well, if God is a creator, and the Bible says that he is, and the Bible speaks only the truth here, if God is the creator, then evolution cannot possibly be so.
Exactly right.
And so it's either one or the other. You can't straddle the fence on this. And so when we're talking about having a biblical faith, we are talking about having a faith that believes in God Jehovah, the creator of the universe, the creator of man, the giver of all life, for it is in him that we live and we move and we have our being, according to Paul in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27.
Exactly right. You know, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, the psalmist said.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important for us in Psalm 33, verse 6. And so that's vital when we think about this idea of faith, that we have to believe that Jesus, or that God and all of them, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all had a part to play in the creation of the world. If we don't believe that, we don't have biblical faith. But the question that we need to ask ourselves, David, you know, how does this faith grow? How do we grow in faith? We know it's more than simply believing in God, believing in him as creator. There's more to it. Romans 10, verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so faith grows as we read and as we hear the word of God, as we meditate upon it, filling our minds with the Word of God.
Well, now let's just back up to that just a moment. Now, people keep talking about this faith that they act as if they just walk around and then all of a sudden, wham, the Holy Spirit stamps them with some faith, and they just reach out there and they get a hold of it. But now the Bible says this is the way that we get our faith. Now, folks, write it down if you have a place to write it down. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we must have the Word of God in order to have the true faith that is pleasing to God, Tom. If without the Word, we can have not the faith and believe that he is the creator. Now, we can see things, and we can see the creation that God has made. We can know that God created it, but without the Word, we don't know just exactly how the faith has got to work in us to be approved of by him.
You know, people really have that concept mixed up. You know, you were driving down the road the other day, weren't you, as you was traveling in a local area there, in a local town, and you saw a marquee that was on the road there. What exactly did that marquee say?
Well, it caught my eye, and it really angered me because a preacher, a supposedly preacher of the gospel, put this on a marquee for all of the world to see, and it says, faith is caught more than it is taught. Faith is caught more than it is taught. But now, you have heard what men have had to say. Look what the Bible has to say. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
It can't be caught unless it is taught.
Absolutely.
And so, what we find here, David, is people who are getting away from a book, chapter, verse type of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard what men have said. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, if you'd like to get involved tonight with a question or a comment, we encourage you to call us 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking presently about a marquee sign that David saw on the way out to Okra one day, and it said, faith is caught more than it is taught.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of things wrong with that, but clearly we can't have faith unless it is taught.
Well, the entire marquee is a flippant attempt to draw attention to God's word, mm-hmm. or faith. And the problem is there is a horrible, horrible misconception of what true faith in God is because of our public school system. One reason we teach children from a very early age that God didn't create anything, mm-hmm. and that it all evolved out of some Big Bang theory out there that they can no more prove than the man on the moon, because it's not true.
You know, and isn't it true, David, also that involved in this idea is that people want to be guided more with their feelings than they do, thus saith the Lord.
Well, I think that is the essence of the marquee. You know, here you have a bunch of feelings, and the problem is that denominational religion believes this kind of garbage,
mm-hmm.
because they think that the Holy Spirit talks to them and moves them and tells them what to do. Well, if he's doing that, he's giving them the faith that the apostles were asking Jesus for that he refused to give them.
Exactly right. They want it, but they were going to have to do something for that faith, just like we today have to do something also to develop this faith. Now, David, even if we do read our Bibles,
sure.
and we know what the Bible is about, we really can't know what faith is really all about and how strong our faith is unless we are tested.
Well, Tom, faith is just a word until it is tested.
Mm-hmm.
If our faith is never tested, we don't know. We don't know how strong we are faithfully and spiritually. And it's kind of like going to the gym. Until you lift up the weights, you don't know how strong you are. But you have to test it to figure out how strong you are. Now, once you have determined how strong you are, at that point, you're probably going to say, you know, I'm not strong enough. I'm going to have to work at this and get stronger.
You know, a good example of this, David, is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 to 31 there.
Mm-hmm.
There we have a passage where there's a storm, and they see Jesus walking on the water, but they don't know who it is, do they? They think it's a ghost. Well, when they saw this and finally realized it was Jesus, what they did was they asked Peter. Jesus had come out to meet Peter, and so Peter, in this storm, got out, and it says there that he walked on the water.
Right.
But then what happened? He started looking around. He took his eyes off Jesus. He saw the storms that were around him, and he began to sink. See, David, here's a man who had enough faith to get out of the boat, to walk on the water, but he didn't have enough faith to walk on the water in the storm.
Well, that is because that little faith that he had not been tried. Now, the trying was the storm. We have the same thing happens to us all the time. Mm-hmm. We have the storms of life. This is actually illustrated in the parable of the two builders, the guy that built his house upon the sand, the guy that built his house upon the rock. The rock-solid house was built, and it weathered the rains, the downpours, the flood, and the wind, and the storms, and it stood because it was founded upon the rock. Now, that's where our faith has got to be, and it's got to be rock solid.
And notice that in that text it says the wise man heard and obeyed.
Absolutely.
The word. And so when we talk about this faith coming by hearing the word of God, as we've already noted, there is action that is required upon our part for us to have the kind of faith that's not going to fail us in time of difficulty. And so we have all kinds of waves that are going to be coming into our lives, and it's going to test our faith. And David, the lesson before us then is this. It does not require much faith to appear firm when the going is easy, right?
Right.
The test comes when it appears that things are against us. And David, there are a lot of things in life that really test our faith.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I tell you what, one of the greatest causes of doubt in faith, in many, many instances, is death in the family, mm-hmm. especially the death of a young one, but mm-hmm. or the death of a spouse. It doesn't make any difference. When death comes in your family, it's going to test your faith, and this is where you find out where you stand. If you're weak, you'll begin to doubt because of death coming along. But if you are strong, then you can withstand whatever the storm is of life that comes at you. That's just one of the things, the death in the family.
You know, sometimes it's the loss of a job, or we're having money difficulties. Maybe there's difficulty in the family that does not really include death.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a divorce, maybe an unfaithful child, maybe something, disease or something that's really threatening one's life. Well, these things can weaken our faith if our faith is not strong. And we go back to that parable of the two builders that you mentioned a moment ago there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, where the wise man built his house upon the rock. He built upon the rock because he heard, he obeyed, he had the proper faith, and he was able to withstand the storms that came into his life.
Right. And so when we look at this, when we need to be firm in our faith, the test comes when it appears that things are against us. And when things appear to be against us, that is when we need to go back to the source, Tom. Mm-hmm. Where is the source of our faith? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when we look at that word of God, if we back up a few chapters in the book of Romans to chapter 8 and verse 31, there we are told, if God be for us, now God with this divine power that you mm-hmm. were talking about, how big and how powerful is that? This God, if God be for us, then who can be against us?
David, that's encouraging news, and that ought to be something that really motivates us to do what Peter said, to with all diligence add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and so on. And if these things be in you and abound, you shall not be unfruitful, but you shall always, you're going to be right in the sight of God, and knowing that God is on our side, we can turn back every difficulty that comes our way. You know, and David, to step out with little faith, you have to really walk by faith.
Well, you know, this is something you and I discussed before the program. You know, at the beginning, you know, everybody doesn't have a tremendous faith. I talk to people all the time. I wish I had the faith that they had in some of the things that they have concerning God's word. They have a tremendous faith. And faith is built by experience and patience. And so faith grows as we grow. And so when we begin, we have little faith. But that doesn't mean that we can't step out there, and God wants us to step out there with that little faith, because when that little faith is tried, that's when we begin to grow. So step out there with that little faith, because we walk by faith, the faith that comes from the Word of God, not by what we imagine, not by what we think, but by the faith that comes from the Word of God. And when we put that faith out there to the test, that's when she's going to grow.
And then, as it says, we don't walk by sight. You know, a lot of times people are trying to do things according to their own thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're afraid to do things God's way. And we're afraid to trust God's promises. And you've already mentioned a passage there in Romans 8, verse 11. If God is for us, who can be against us? Why not just go ahead and walk by faith, believe what God says? Now, again, faith, as some would want us to believe, is not some blind leap in the dark.
It's not something that's caught.
Yeah, it's something that we gain by evidence. It's mm-hmm. something acquired using God's words. It's something that we bring to maturity by our obedience to the Word of God. And really, David, that's what brings us to the last point of our lesson tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. There's more to faith than just believing in Jesus, but there is obedience and action required, is it not?
Well, faith without action is dead,
uh-huh.
and we know this not because Tom said it or not because David said it, because the Holy Spirit through James said it. In James chapter 2, and for those of you who are out there that have your Bibles, in James chapter 2, if you will look there, in verse number 14, it begins there. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he has not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works, Tom, is dead. That faith that you step out there, even if it's a little faith,
yeah.
You try that faith, you make it bigger, that faith has to be put into action.
Exactly right. You know, David, and in that same chapter, in verse 19, he talked about how that the devils believe
mm-hmm.
and even shudder, but that's not biblical faith. It's more than just simply believing. And then in verse 24, the only passage in all the Bible that mentions the phrase faith only, it says, we're not saved by faith only.
Mm-hmm.
And so faith that is one of the Christian graces is a faith that is culminated in action.
Right, right. And so when we look throughout the Bible, this faith is the first of the Christian graces for us to work on. Every single one of us have got to work on it. And we need not waste any more time. We need to be diligent. We need to test the water. We need to really work on this foundational building of our faith right here. And now, when we get this started, we can go on with the rest of the Christian graces. Now, Jude mentioned something very, 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 very interesting in Jude verse 20. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, he's talking about a faith that is most holy. When something is holy, it is pure. If something is pure, that means it is unmixed.
Exactly right. And so our faith has to be holy. It has to be godlike. It has to be a faith that where we believe that God is, that
mm-hmm.
He is an actual individual, and He actually is the creator of the world. But that's not all of it. We still have to grow in faith so that we're willing to do the things that are difficult and not lose hope. David, if we don't have true faith in God and aren't having a faith that's building, what kind of hope are we going to have when we face the difficulties in life?
Well, if we don't have a strong faith, what's going to happen when the storms of life come? It's going to be just exactly like the parable that Jesus told us. Our house, our spiritual house, is going to be broken to nothing, and we're going to have to walk away because there's nothing left.
And I know you and I have both seen this happen many times over the years where a person was weak in faith,
mm-hmm.
a catastrophe happened in their life, and they fell away from the Lord.
Yeah.
The very moment when they needed Him the most, they fell away because their faith was not strong.
Exactly. And this is what Satan likes. He comes and he steals away the word out of their heart. He steals away the word that causes the faith. He comes and steals it away out of the heart of men and women. And we cannot allow that to happen. For this reason, he says, be diligent to make your calling and your election sure. He says that in verse number 11. Be diligent to make your calling and your election sure. Don't slack on me here, he's saying. Be diligent. Be steadfast to make that calling of God that comes through the gospel. Make that calling and the election which comes through the gospel. Make it sure and make it certain.
Exactly. You know, and so in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, we're called by the gospel, right?
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, this gospel that we're called by requires us to hear the words of God as mm-hmm. found in the pages of the Bible, right?
Absolutely.
And then we've got to have a belief, a faith in God, which is part of what we've talked about tonight.
Right.
But not only do we need to believe, David, but we have to do what?
Well, when we believe and we put that faith in action, it's going to cause us to repent. And Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So without repentance, we can't go to heaven either.
All right, so we're talking about hearing and believing and confessing our sins and repenting of our sins. But David, this is all culminated in an action that many people in our world refuse to be a part of, mm-hmm. and that's baptism.
Right.
You know, Jesus Christ himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I don't know how people can argue with that. That is a very simple, plain statement. Even a child can understand it. You would need help to misunderstand it.
Absolutely.
When they did that on the day of Pentecost, mm-hmm. Acts 2 and verse 38, they were added to the Lord's church, Acts 2 and verse 47. This is where this whole faith really starts. If we're not willing to become a New Testament Christian, we're not going to have the kind of faith that we need, and then we're not going to be able to develop these other Christian attributes.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. And so we're just about out of time, Tom. I'd like to thank our listening audience. I'd like to thank those who tuned in to the gospelradionetwork.org, also those that are listening on KNNK out in Hereford, Texas, and KATX here in Eastland, Texas. And soon we'll get our tower up and we'll be listening to a broader area than what we're listening to now. We'll have a local station right here in Stephenville and hopefully all the way close to, at least close to Hamilton, if not in Hamilton. And so we encourage you to stay with us and invite everybody to listen that you can. The Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible every Monday night at 7 o'clock. We'll see you here next week. Tom, it's yours to sign off.
You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.